Hey there, it's Zena with Guitar Goddess, and today we are sitting down with the amazing Lori McKenna. Now, you guys are much familiar with Lori. She's written for Faith Hill, Tim McGraw, Leanne Rimes, Carrie Underwood, just to name a few. And today we are sitting down with her after spending a brilliant 50 minutes with her in concert. Welcome, Miss Lori.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm getting tired, but I'm good.
Sure. It's been a long day.
It has. We drove today, so it's been...
You drove?
We came from San Francisco. So.
Oh, right.
Well, actually, I didn't drive. Mary drove.
Okay.
But I was in the... We were up early. So.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's all good. I'll sleep on the plane tomorrow, and everything will be perfect.
Back to your family life.
Right, right.
Now, how long have you been on the road?
I left home on Thursday.
Okay.
So this is the third night of shows.
Okay.
And that's about good for me, mm-hmm. because then you're gone 4 days, you know, all together. And I just miss, you know, home, and yeah. I'm a homebody, and I miss the kids. If I'm out longer than that, I get a little cranky, so it's best if they send me home after the third show.
Yeah. Well, speaking of kids, I mean, I think it's so amazing that you've had such a full career. I mean, you started at 27
yeah.
professionally,
yeah.
which is unheard of.
Yeah.
And you have 5 children.
Yeah.
And you write songs a lot, which are about your husband and children.
I know. They say write what you know, right?
Yeah, right,
so,
right.
Well, but the thing about my job is, though, that I can do almost, not all of it, but I can do most of it at home, because mm-hmm. most of my writing I do at home. So I always, you know, I always think about my career. I've been just very lucky. There's so much luck involved in sort of this world and mm-hmm. And being in the right place at the right time, or having someone hear a song at the right moment. You know, sometimes you can hear a song and it won't hit you, and then another day it would totally hit you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so there's so much luck involved. But the other side of it is I watch my friends that, you know, have, you know, with their kids and mm-hmm. everything, that have jobs that require them, you know, the whole time to not be home. And I can
yeah.
do so much of it at home that I'm really lucky that way. You know, it's most of it's done in the kitchen.
Yeah.
When I was chasing the kids around yeah. with a guitar and a computer. They're like, where are we going now?
But that's so wonderful. You know, there are a lot of women who, you know, are interested in getting involved in music, and they think, oh, I have children, you
yeah.
know, or, you know, is it possible? And even starting at 27, I mean, I think that's so wonderful,
yeah.
you know, that you were able to spend some time with your children, you know, really establish a foundation at home and then dig into the music business.
It sort of happened by mistake. I didn't think I was going to ever do it. And I think once I had my 3 oldest before I started doing open mics and things like that. And I think that at that point I thought, you know, I had nothing to lose if mm-hmm. I didn't, you know, other than if I didn't try to sort of stick my neck out a little bit and try the music, then I might regret it when I got older that mm-hmm. I should have tried. And, you know, it's a good job to balance all that. It really is. It's very, you know, you can structure it the way you need to. And as mm-hmm. long as you keep your priorities as they should be,
yeah.
then you're good.
And we're so fortunate that you did. You know, some people, you know, their music stays within them forever.
Mm-hmm.
And just listening to you sing tonight and those songs that you've written, I mean, they just touched my soul.
Oh,
you know,
thank
I mean,
you.
By this town, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, just every line was just so personal and so deep. And I really appreciate, you know, your artistry and your courage, you know, to write songs like that, because we don't hear enough of those songs that are,
right.
you know,
yeah.
real.
Well, I think that, you know, you reach a certain age, too, where you just, like, when I talk about songs, it's sort of like I'm just trying to please myself at this
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to please anybody else
mm-hmm.
with the song. I just want to be proud of it myself. And so that way you don't worry about, you know, does this sound like it could be on the radio, or
mm-hmm.
does this sound like somebody else would want to sing it?
Because mm-hmm.
then you run, to me, I run into trouble that way. If I wrote from that perspective, it wouldn't be as it should. And that song just sort of wrote itself. You know, sometimes
yeah.
you get that muse will sort of like, here you go.
Yes,
there's that.
Yes, here's this gift.
This needs to be written. You seem okay.
Yeah.
So that's how that happened.
Wow, that's
yeah.
great. Now, tell me, what is your, like, writing process? you know, do the lyrics come first? Does the music come mm-hmm. first? Do you see your kids doing something, or does your husband do something and you're like, I'm gonna write that down?
I have like my notebook of like, you know, things that I write down a lot. Sometimes I write down things in the middle of the night and then I'll look at them in the morning and think, well, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know why I spent the time to write that down because it doesn't make any sense. But I do have like a notebook of words. But I almost always write with words and music at the same time. So okay. I'll just strum my guitar and try to find a melody. And then I literally just babble words until, and then like sometimes a word will pop out right where it sort of needs to. And then you mm-hmm. build around that. And I co-write a lot, and it's funny because I've done that enough, now I'm sort of at the point where I can babble in front of other people, and I'll just say, this is how it works, yeah. like, let's just see what happens, and I have a lot of friends that write the same way, and they say, oh, I do that too, because it sounds crazy if you mm-hmm. walk by a room and someone's playing a little chord progression and just babbling, mm-hmm. you'd think, what's going on in there, but I have a lot of friends that write that way too. It's sort of, that way I think the words fall into the music the way they should mm-hmm. a little more natural.
Yeah, I mean, all of your songs just are so organic, and they just feel like, you know, they just flew out, you know, just like, they're just like little angels with wings, you know?
Well, they're very simple, really, and it's sort of, I like songs that sort of sound like a conversation, mm-hmm. and I usually just, you know, I'm very simple-minded that way, and it seems to work for me, so.
Yeah, I love some of the lines, you know, that you write. You're writing about the kitchen sink. I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's brilliant.
I stand in front of it a lot.
You spend a lot of time there making dinner.
I look out the window. I can see the backyard. My kids on the swing. I spend a lot of time at the kitchen sink.
That's so awesome.
I think everybody does.
Yeah, you do. That's kind of the center, mm-hmm. the hub of the home is the kitchen sink.
When I picture my grandmother, I picture her standing in front of, you know what I mean, the kitchen sink. Yeah. So. It's funny.
Now, how does your husband feel about these songs that you've written about him? Is he like, you
he
know...
He doesn't listen.
Oh, he doesn't?
No. He listens to a word I say. He never does. No, he really doesn't listen. But he also... Because sometimes he'll be prompted to listen. Somebody will say, did you hear that song, if you tried, or whatever. You know what I mean? And then he'll ask me, who'd you write that with? And I'll say, I wrote that by myself. And mm-hmm. then he'll, you know what I mean? But he knows how my brain works. Because mm-hmm. one little thing will start you in a direction. And then if one little thing that sort of mildly triggered, you know, an unhappy emotion mm-hmm. about him. And then it sort of, I can't write the song and have it not be the full emotion. You know what I mean? You can't write half of an emotion
exactly.
in a song.
You got to get it out.
And so he knows that's kind of how my brain works. And he doesn't take it personally. He doesn't like to come to shows and stand there and have people look at him.
Look at him sideways like, what do you do?
Like, what's going on with you? But he's pretty good about it. And thank God, because if he wasn't, then I wouldn't be able to write the way I do. Yeah. If he was like, man, I wish you wouldn't, you know, make fun of me in the middle of songs or whatever, then I wouldn't be able to.
And your children, you said your son is on the road with you. He's your guitar tech and, mm-hmm. and bodyguard and making sure that mom is walking the straight and narrow.
Kept me safe. I was kidding about that. Yeah. I wouldn't do that. But he kept me safe in the hotel room. You know, I sleep better when there's like a warm body around, right? I've decided that. And I knew that... I learned early on that if I'm going to be gone for 4 days, if I have even just one of them with me, I feel closer to home. So, he's a musician, so he can, he helps me with my gear and all that, and my merch and all that stuff. So he's sort of the tour manager, you know, piece of family from home. And although I knew Mary was going to take care of me this mm-hmm. tour, so it was kind of like family anyway. But he's never been to California.
He told me that. Yeah. He's so excited to be here and wants to tool around California and see all the sights. So. But you're dragging him back in the morning.
I know. Yeah. Wait till he finds out he's only going to sleep for 2.5 hours.
I think he knows that part already.
But no, I asked him, I said, you want to go, you know? And he was like, oh, yeah, I took some days off of work. But he, you know, he is a musician. It's mm-hmm. good for him to be around the stuff and sort of see that, you know, these are the rooms you play mm-hmm. sometimes, and these are the rooms, some mm-hmm. night it'll be a great night like tonight, and you just play in these rooms that are just, you can't you can't make this up. It's just so wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, another night it's just a little different. And, yeah. you know, they're not all going to be, you know, sometimes it's hard and sometimes it's just so wonderful. You don't know how you deserve to be so lucky to get to do it. So, you know, it all evens out.
Now, how many of your children play instruments?
Brian is he's the oldest, and he's, you know, he's in all these bands, and then my second oldest is a sports kid. Oh. He doesn't play anything, and then my third oldest is a drummer.
Okay.
And he's in a band, and they're making a record now.
Cool.
And the other ones are 10 and 7.
Okay.
So my daughter, who's the 10-year-old, I keep telling her I know she's going to be a songwriter, because she hears a song one time and mm-hmm. she knows it.
Wow.
She's very lyrically based, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So.
Wow, that's awesome.
They're all kind of musical a little bit.
So you've got a whole band there, you know,
I know,
started
right?
from your parents, you're, you know, playing piano and singing,
yeah.
and now you've got 5 children, which it seems like most of them have musical talent.
Yeah.
Now, when you're home, are you like soccer mom? Are you like driving them around to all their activities?
I do. Thank goodness the older ones can, you know, drive themselves. But the little ones, you know, we do flag football. And my husband took my daughter to sign up for Girl Scouts yesterday for the first time, and she is just like beyond excited. And
wow.
she's studying trumpet. So she's,
oh,
you know,
wow.
she calls me up and says, probably going to ask me how my day was. She tells me all about her day. On the voicemail, she'll leave it.
Oh, that's
like
great.
A 10-minute voicemail.
Oh, that's great.
You know, I sat next to Abby in class. Thank God I got one girl, because the
yeah.
boys don't talk.
Right.
You know,
they're just
so at least
doing
one
their
of them
sports
talks to me.
And all that stuff.
But yeah, I mean, you know, at home, it's, you know, I'm in my pajamas all day, and I drive them wherever they need to go. And mm-hmm. that's why nobody in the town I live with, they all, you know, they know what I do, but nobody's impressed. But, yeah. I can't
like she's
it.
Just a regular
she's
girl.
She's just gonna show up in her pajamas and you're gonna drop off someone at school. So,
but you keep the entertainment going.
Yeah.
If it's not the music, you know, they don't know what you're gonna show up
yeah,
in at the grocery
right.
store.
Or so. They never know who's at the house. Sometimes the neighbors will look across the street like, who's over there now? So, because we have, you know, writers come to the house a lot, so that's fun.
Well, that's nice.
Keeps
Everyone comes to you and you can sit and.
I don't know how I got lucky enough for that to happen, but it does happen. Every other week or so, there's
wow.
another songwriter at the house, so that's good.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it's great.
Now tell me about working with, you worked with Faith Hill, you wrote for her,
mm-hmm.
and did you get to play in her band or a song with her or something? I remember reading something about you were playing on stage with her, and I
played with her a couple of times.
Okay.
I wrote the songs that she cut, I had written and put out on a record called Bitter Town that came out in 2004, and then Mary
mm-hmm.
Gaucher
mm-hmm.
brought that record to a publisher in Nashville, and the publisher got the record to Faith.
Wow.
And that's how I ended up with my deal on Warner Brothers and my publishing deal and all that stuff, was basically because of Mary
wow.
Gaucher. And, but anyway, so Faith cut those songs, and I played with her a couple of times. I played with her one time on the CMAs. She was performing one
mm-hmm.
of the songs, and she had me come and play guitar. And she had me join her when she did the Oprah show
right,
that
Oprah,
year.
Right, Oprah, that's the
and
one I remember.
And we played
yes.
one of the songs on there too, which is very it's so emotional. That whole thing. It was just so crazy. But she's been Faith is. Has been, you know, she's a real champion for songwriters.
Mm-hmm.
She's a great songwriter herself,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, I don't know how many people know that, but I've written with her and she really is, you know, a great songwriter, but she loves songwriters. And so does Tim. So when they find someone that they, you know, they want other people to hear, they, you know, they've really gone out of their way to help a lot of us out, you know.
Yeah, and Tim produced your last mm-hmm. album.
Yeah, the album before this
before
one,
this
Glamorous,
one.
Tim,
yeah.
Tim and Byron Gallimore produced that. And that was all, you know, just because they liked what I did and they you know, they wanted, you know, to be part of it and help me out.
Mm-hmm.
And they still do that. They're really amazing people. They're very loyal people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're song people. And that town, Nashville's a song town.
Yes.
It is, you know, people... It's not like about what a record sounds like
mm-hmm.
or what somebody's wearing or what somebody's video is
mm-hmm.
as much as it is what the songs are. And they all know the writers and they all... And I've never seen a town like that before. The town's very... It's a song town. And
wow.
and that's how Tim and Faith are too. They're song people. So it's been a blessing for me to know them.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, what would you tell, you know, a lot of our viewers are songwriters themselves. Some are just getting started. Some are, you know, still struggling along. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give them about, you know, getting their songs out there?
Right. Well, you know, the way it happened for me was somebody did it for me.
Yes.
So that my story, sometimes people ask me, like, how do I do this? And I'm mm-hmm. like, ah, man, I don't know. You know, because literally, you know, Mary gave some of my records. It was like, it was passed along. Mm-hmm. But the thing I did why that happened was because I made a record. Mm-hmm. So, and I know I have a lot of friends that are songwriters that don't think of themselves as artists, but they mm-hmm. can sing great. Mm-hmm. And they just, you know, they just didn't focus on that side of it. They focused on the writing. And I think that if somebody came up to me and said, I want to be a songwriter, what do? I would say, play an instrument and be able to stand there by yourself and play your songs and sing them and make a record. Because mm-hmm. you can make my first record cost like $3,000 or $4,000 to make, you know, and that was a while ago.
Yeah.
So you can make, you know, a stripped down version of your best songs and put yourself out there, and that's the best way, I think, to do it.
And how do you feel about the open mics? I mean, that was something your brother kind of nudged you into.
Yeah, totally into doing. If there wasn't open mics, I wouldn't be here. You know, because I mean, how else do you start?
Exactly.
And in Boston, where I live, and I hope this is true of everywhere, the community at that level is very nurturing of mm-hmm. each other. They you know, they support each other. That's how I met Mary Gauthier, okay. and literally I have my career because of her. Because, you know, she saw me and we she helped me, you know, mm-hmm, just mm-hmm. as if tonight, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's sort of like she, you know, me joining her on these dates is, you know, so her audience knows who I am and mm-hmm. my audience knows who, you know, mm-hmm. who she is, and it's helping each other out. Mm-hmm. And Boston, I'm a very non-competitive person, and I think before I started, I thought, oh, the music business, that's got to be kind of like, you know, competition, you know, and mm-hmm. and I wouldn't have done it at all if it was that way. In Boston, they have a very supportive community of writers starting out and, you know, learning how to get up there and shake through their first, you know, couple of open mics. And if not for open mics, I wouldn't have a job.
Wow.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know how else you start, you know?
Yeah, I know so many people are doing videos and things on YouTube and all this sort of thing, but, you know, before YouTube, you were just going to open mics and networking, you know, and...
It still seems, I mean, I guess the videos work. I hadn't thought of that, but they weren't around when I started, right? So, but I still think, you know, being... Because a video can affect you, mm-hmm. certainly, but there's something about being in a room, and then you get to watch everybody else, and that's part of it, too, I think, especially when you're starting off, mm-hmm. is you gain inspiration by the person that's on after you, too.
Yeah.
You know, you really do, or before you. You know, you sort of learn from each other.
Yeah.
It's a big part of it.
That's true. And now you're without record label, you're out on your own. You're doing this tour on your own, and you have your new CD that you produced, the first one since leaving Warner Brothers, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
It's good. It's been sort of stripped everything back, mm-hmm. and Warner Brothers, they were so good to me. They really were, and they totally believed in me, and they really gave me a break, you know, and really, you know, helped me out with all that. But I sort of knew that, you know, that kind of world wasn't where I was supposed to be mm-hmm. in this sort of world is, and this is all good. I don't even have a manager now, so if there's an issue, mm-hmm. then there's not four people to call to see how to fix it. I just have to try to fix it myself, and I have a good team, you know, mm-hmm. a little team mm-hmm. around me, and my publishing company is amazing, and they help me, you know, do that. And my friend Barry Dean mm-hmm. produced it, and so it's been really good. And that record, the thing about it was, because there's nobody calling you up saying, you know, how's it going? What's, you know, are we doing this? Are we doing that? Mm-hmm. It was me and my friends helping me. So there was, the only person I had to please was myself in that. So I think that's how it ended up being as personal as it is.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I noticed when I was listening to it. I was thinking, you know, this is the type of record that you would have to do on your own.
Yeah.
because it's so deep. The writing is so deep. Everything is so emotionally driven, and it's beautiful. I mean, I absolutely love it. I was playing it all day yesterday and the day before and last week, and I'm like, this is just really fantastic, but it's definitely not a corporate record.
Yeah, it's not a dance record.
No.
I don't know if you could dance at all to it, but yeah, I mean, nobody's going to let you do that.
Right.
They're going to say, you need an up-tempo. You need something that is commercial here, and there's nobody there to tell me that. So that's how it ended up. You know, it's more, I guess, I don't know, maybe it's more like a book or something but I always tease and I say, well, I'm not going to make you dance, so I have to try. I'm going to have to try to make you cry.
Yeah, and you do that.
That's all I get left. Yeah.
Especially I'm by this town. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're singing that. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I love it when they cry. I love it. It's my favorite. I used to feel bad. Now I'm like, yes.
Yes, tears.
You've been affected.
Yes, exactly. You're changing people's lives,
No.
You really are. I mean, through the songs that you're putting out there, and they're so important. And
thank you.
You know, just keep going. You know, we love it. We absolutely love it. And, you know, the fans, they can't get enough of it. And just thank you so much for this collection. If you don't have this, go out and get it now. It's amazing. It's entitled Lorraine, which is your official...
It's my real name.
Your real name.
Yeah, but the Lorraine there in my head is my mom.
Your mom.
Yeah, and that's her teacup.
It is. I was going to ask you about the teacup.
Yeah. There's two of them, but that was one of them. And it's funny, when I sent the record to Faith, and she emailed me back, and she said, I want that teacup.
Yeah, I know. That's me, too. It has butterflies.
It was my grandmother's, and then it was my mom's. And so I swiped it, and now it's mine.
Oh, that's great. I love it. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with us.
It's been a pleasure.
We totally appreciate it. And
thank you.
All the guitar goddesses out there, pick it up. And go to LorraineMcKenna.com and find out where she's going to be next.
I know. I'm not sure yet. I have to look it up. I know I get an early flight. That's all I know. No. But thank you.
Yes.
It's very nice to meet you.
You as well.
You guys are funny.
There it is.
My songs down to Nashville, she was the one that did all that for me. So the Mary Gaucher is the angel of the McKenna House. We love her. So I live in Stoughton, which is about 20 miles south of Boston. That's where I get my southern twang. And I've been married 24 years going on. My husband's name is Gene. We have 5 kids. The oldest one I dragged here to tune my guitar for me. The youngest one is 7. They're all boys except for my 10-year-old. She sent me like 500 text messages today. Wanted to know when the hell I was coming home. Outnumbered. Got a heart that's made for breaking. No, it sure ain't made of stone. There's part of you that's always falling, and part of me. Can't build for you an ocean, or change the weather in your sky. I know I'd never really save you, but I sure as hell. Thank you.
inside, I'm loved and out of control.
David, the 7-year-old. He has this habit of every night I'll tell him it's bedtime. And he'll be completely shocked that he has to go to bed again. Like, what? You know, so I'll do the countdown. I'll do like, you know, 20 minutes. We got to go up and, you know, brush teeth. And I'm like, really? We did that yesterday. We have to do it again? Right now, today, at some point, you know, and it's like every day he's completely shocked that there's like bedtime again. And I realize that I do exactly the same thing with dinner time. Like every day at 3:30 in the afternoon, I'll look at the clock and I'll be like, oh my God, these people need to eat again? Like I have to make dinner for all of them? Like there's nothing left in the refrigerator from yesterday. I cooked yesterday, and then, you know, so I go to the grocery store like every day. And every day I go to the grocery store at 4 o'clock in my yoga pants, and I go up and down the grocery aisles. And I, if it's Monday, the whole time I'm doing this, I just think Monday, 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 Monday. Like I might think about Tuesday morning breakfast, but I'm sure as hell I'm not gonna think about Tuesday dinner, because then that would be like food planning, which I definitely have a problem with. So I'm in the grocery store all the time, and I don't like the grocery store. I don't know why I do this to myself. And I'm always in like my pajamas or like in full makeup with like a Nightline crew. Like that happened one time, and they don't like nobody knows what I do. Like they're like, there's a weird lady that's either in her pajamas or like the dude from Nightline's with her. We're not. Because I happen to mention, you know, one time when I had a record coming out that I go to the grocery store every day, and they're like, let's go to the grocery store. So this like film crew follows me to the grocery store. I started writing a song about it, and I had these lines, and then I showed it to my friend Barry Dean, and he helped me finish it. It didn't end up being specifically about groceries, but that's where it started. Well, my life is a grocery store line, and we'll be just fine. Don't know how we survive, but we do. My life is an early spring snow, the last thread of hope that I just keep hanging on to. My life is pieces of paper that I'll get back to later. I'll write you a story. And how
$2 beer. Yeah, Friday night's here. Friends that I've known since high school. My life is in order to go. A rainy car ride back home. Someone you love to lay next to.
Start again, you'll survive even though you'll never be the same.